Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We've come out of 10 days of prayer and fasting a couple of weeks ago. We had Pentecost Sunday last week. It was so powerful. And as we've fasted, as we've been consecrating ourselves, and as we're making this our lifestyle, God has been speaking. God has been pinpointing stuff in your lives, in my life. He's exposing things in our lives as we've been vulnerable with Him, correcting, disciplining. We heard about some of that in communion this morning. But God's been speaking to us. You know, He's shown us mindsets in our lives that we need to change, attitudes, habits, sin we need to deal with. He's always transforming us. He's speaking. And I love He's gentle. At times He will push. At times He will convict. But He's just been making things so clear. And what a journey that we're on. He's been showing us, for some of us, places that we shouldn't be going to anymore. Things that we shouldn't be watching anymore. People we shouldn't be speaking to anymore. Because He just has great things in store for us so that we can shine more for Him. So He's been showing us so many things. And you might have not been part of the 10 days of prayer and fasting. But if you're walking with God and you're here today, you know God's been showing you things. He's been speaking. And He's given us glimpses of things that are to come as individuals, as a church. For some, He's clarifying your calls. Things are becoming clearer. What is God calling me to? He's clarifying things. New beginnings for some. And I just sense, as I've been praying the last couple of weeks, that as we're going the way we're going, as God is moving and God is speaking, we have a part to play. And that part to play is for us individually, is to not go back. Not go back. He's brought you here today. He's brought you this far, wherever you're at with Him. He doesn't want you to go back. As a church, what He's doing in this church, where He's taking us, He doesn't want us to go back. So the title for today is Not Going Back. So as you just think of that, not going back, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 17. We're just coming out of Hebrews 11 when Hebrews 12 comes, obviously. And in Hebrews 11, talks about faith. Talks about the giants of faith like Abraham, Moses, Enoch, Noah, and their journeys and just how much faith they had. The promises God was giving them, but they didn't actually really get to walk in the promises. They got to see them from afar, but God used them. God used them. They were faithful. So in all of Hebrews 11, we hear about faith. We hear about these great giants of faith and their journeys. And here we come to Hebrews 12, and this is how it goes. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He's talking about the witnesses as those people like Abraham, Moses. They're the great cloud of witnesses who've walked the walk, been on the journey, and have been considered faithful. So therefore, we are surrounded, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Verse 11, for the moment, right now, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. What a big chunk of scripture. So much truth. So much truth. Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Who's got some weight? Who's got some things that are just weighing them down in life? There's things that weigh us down in life. Worries, troubles, people, mindsets. He says, let us lay aside every weight, because there's a race that has been set before us. And this race that is set before you is not a race that you get to choose. It's one that God has marked out for you. So we need to lean on him and actually lay aside the things that are slowing us down. Not that we always have to be running, but they just slow us down, bring us down from what God is wanting to do. It says, lay aside every weight, it says, and every sin that clings so closely. Jesus has dealt with that, but we've actually got to lay it aside. What are some things that you've depended on? Some things that you're still depending on that are not of God. What are some things that you run to, you fall back on? What are those things that are making you heavy? Just think you're on a run. You're trying to run a race. You're holding bags. You're holding baggage. You're running late for your flight, but your hand luggage is just a little bit too heavy. And somehow you're able to take more hand luggage than others, and they're calling out your name. If they're saying, Mr. Alphine, you got 2 minutes. I'm just probably going to drop the bag and just run. There's things we need to drop. What is it that you need to drop? What is it that you need to lay aside? Letting go of the things that you've carried. It says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The first thing today about not going back, how are we as individuals and as a church not going to go back? We need to stay dependent. We need to stay dependent on God. You know, we get so full of things that weigh us down. Worry, trouble, stress, work. We get so full of ourselves, full of myself. I start depending on myself. God comes through. He's come through. I forget who's come through. And I get full of myself. I start to depend on myself. And I'm not able to run the race that God has set before me. But we need to look at Jesus. Look at what he did. He says, for the joy that was set before him. Jesus saw the joy that was set before him. Salvation, you and I, being able to be in relationship with God. And Jesus is like, I'm just going to keep going. They might be beating me. They might be spitting at me. They might be mocking me. They might be hanging me on the cross, nailing my hands to the cross, blood gushing everywhere. He could have gone back. He could have been like, do you know who I am? I am the Son of God. Boom! Get out of here. And they would have gone. But he said, Father, your will, not my will. Because he knew that people were going to come to know his Father. People were going to come to know him. He could have backed down. He even asked God if he could back down. Lord, take this cup away from me. You know, he was shedding sweat, which was blood. His sweat was blood in that garden before anything's even happening to him, because he knew the pain that was before him. But he didn't back down. He didn't give up. He endured. You know, we talked about the Israelites, the people of God, a few weeks ago. God delivered them out of slavery, out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea for them. What a miracle. What deliverance. What triumph. He gave them laws to follow and how to walk with him. But they came to moments where they're like, no, we want to go back to Egypt. We had it good. They had the presence of God with them the whole time. Cloud by day, fire by night. But just because you're on your way to the promised land, just because you've been delivered, God is taking you out of something, doesn't mean it's all just going to be easy. We need to stay dependent on him. But they were struggling to stay dependent on him. They started to disobey his word. They didn't go back to Egypt, but they went back on God. They went back on his word. They went back on their word. They could not endure so much that a generation of them couldn't go to the promised land. They just went around in circles. That's going back. We can go around in circles. We need to break the cycles. We don't need to keep going back. But as we depend on God, we're able to keep moving forward. Just think about in a race. A lot of you know that I like to run. Man, I can't run like this. Whoa. You know, if I try and run like a 5K run like that, man, I'm going to be falling. I'm going to be hitting a bike. I'm going to be doing something, and it's going to get hard to get up. I fell the other day, even though I was going forward. But I was looking at the water, and whoa, I fell. And I really struggled to get up. I'm still feeling the pain now. But it's nothing serious. Don't worry, we've been praying. It's healing. God's teaching me stuff. But you can't run a race backwards, right? God has set a race for all of us. We're not racing against one another. It's your race. It's my race, but it's his race. And he's saying, look to me, look to Jesus. Just keep coming, just keep coming, keep coming forward. Think about swimming. I've been getting into a bit of swimming too. But man, I'm not going to try backstroke. I could never do that. Backstroke, I'm just going to go front crawl, freestyle, on my tummy, learning to breathe well in that. But if you think about backstroke, you've actually got to be on your back. But you're not going backwards. You're still going forward, even though you're on your back. Your arms are alternating opposite. Your feet are kicking, fluttering kicks. But you're on your back. But where are you looking? You're looking up. You're looking up. And it's so much easier to breathe when you do backstroke. You don't have to struggle to breathe. Your body's in the water, but your mouth is out, your head is out. They actually say, ideally, when you're doing backstroke, your head's in a neutral position. And ideally, you could have a small bottle of water on your forehead and it will not fall because your head's in a neutral position. And I just think, God, wants us to be doing backstroke in our walk with Him, where we're looking up all the time. We're looking at Him and He's saying, my son, my daughter, just keep going, because you don't know where you're going. In backstroke, there's actually flags that are put up in the Olympics so you can see where you're going. There's actually markers that will say 5 meters. So as a swimmer, you know, I need to do this many strokes before I get to the wall. So we keep looking up, looking to Jesus in our walks with Him. And He's saying, go this way, go that way. But when we're trying to do freestyle, oh, who wants freedom? Freestyle, I'm just going to do it my way. I'm going to breathe, which is praying. I'm going to pray when I want to, when I need to. But God's like, no, stay on your back. Be praying all the time, praying without ceasing, depending on me. Now everyone's going to start learning how to do backstroke. But it's all about keeping your eyes on Jesus. Look at what happened to Peter. Him and the disciples are on the boat. The storm comes. Jesus was on shore somewhere. He said, I'll catch up later. Next thing, they see what appears to be a ghost. And they're like, oh, actually, Peter's like, oh, that's Jesus. Jesus, is that you? Hey, Peter, it's me. Come. They're like, how is he walking on water? How is he doing that? Jesus says to Peter, come. Come to me. So Peter walks out of the boat. And he starts walking on water, but he's looking at Jesus. He's looking at Jesus. But as soon as he starts to think, oh man, there's a storm. Oh, what's happening? Oh, I'm not walking on water. What happens? He starts to sink because he's taken his eyes off Jesus. He's trying to depend on himself again. So we are to depend on our God. Stay dependent. I love the verse where it says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Jesus doesn't want us to shed our blood. He's already done it. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, he's talking to these guys, they're going through a lot of persecution. But he's saying, you actually haven't gone through what you're going through to the point of shedding your blood. Look to Jesus. He shed his blood. He endured. Endurance is going all the way to the end, not giving up. He's saying, well, Jesus, he endured. He went all the way. He shed his blood. And that Jesus who did that, he's actually in you by the Holy Spirit. So when we think endurance, it's not just us going hard, going hard, going hard. It's us realizing we have Jesus in us. He will give you the strength. He will give you the endurance. But you actually have to be depending on Him. So are you depending on Him? We have so much resource, so much available to us, material things that just get in the way. And we think we can do it by ourselves. But we actually need to depend on Him. And as we depend on Him, we're able to keep going to where He wants us to go. So we're not going back. We're moving forward. We're staying dependent. Like we said a few weeks ago, we've crossed over. We have crossed over into what God has been calling us to as a church. You've crossed over into some things God has been calling you to, and we are not going back. It's not going to be easy just because we've crossed over. The Israelites crossed over. They still had giants to face, enemies to face. But as they depended on God, God gave them victory, and they took over a lot of the promised land, a lot of the lands they were supposed to conquer. So stay dependent. Stay dependent. It's so easy when you get to the other side, when God does things through you, to forget the one that got you there and start depending on yourself. Start depending on yourself. Think about your darkest day. What are some dark days that you've had where you like really depended on God? You had no one else. You had nothing else. All you could do was go to God. And He was there with you. Sometimes it's hard. You think, oh, He wasn't there, but He was there. If you really ask Him, Lord, where were you in that pain? And He'll show you as time goes on that He was there. It doesn't always work out the way we want, but He's there with us. Think of your darkest day and how dependent you were on God. That needs to be your address. Not that you want dark days all the time, but that dependence, the way you depended on God at that time, He wants you to be dependent on Him like that every single day. Lord, I don't know what's coming today, but I'm not just going to leave home and not acknowledge You. I'm going to go with You. You are in me. You are with me. Your address needs to be 111, 111, 111, 111 dependence. We're supposed to stay on street dependence on God. It's so easy to be self-dependent, but God has created us to be dependent on Him. But you know what stops us from getting dependent and continuing that place? We get too full. I said that already. But we get too full. We come to church, we get fed with the Word, we worship. We just get so full. We get full with life. We don't give out maybe what we've received in church. That's how you're going to get empty. Whatever you get taught, whatever you read in the Word, you go share that with someone else. You act it out in your life. You see it work. You're like, God, I need more. But we get too full. We get too full of ourselves. We think about ourselves. What do I want? What's good for me? And if you're full, what happens? You're not hungry. You lose your hunger. Hunger wanes. Hunger subsides. But we actually need to stay dependent. But point number two is stay hungry. You got to stay hungry. Man, we were hungry in the fasting time. We were getting so hungry so physically. But in that hunger, you start to depend more on God. Because you know if you go to God, if you go to His Word, He fills you up with His Spirit. He fills you up with His Word to a point that He gives you strength and you don't have to rely on food. But we can't just be hungry for God in the fasting time. He wants us to be hungry all the time because His Word says, blessed is he, blessed is she who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. For they will be satisfied, they will be filled. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed is he who hungers, for he will be filled. We need to stay hungry. The hunger will go. It will go. That spiritual hunger goes. But when you start feeling like you're not hungry for God anymore, go back to the Gospels. Read Matthew, Luke, John, Mark. Read the story of Jesus dying on the cross. Go back to the basics. Just read it again and see what Jesus did. I mean, I'm telling you, you start to get hungry. You start to see what the disciples did, how they walked. You will start to get hungry for more of Him. Little hunger, little feeling. If you're just a little bit hungry, you'll just get a little feeling. God's like, I'm just waiting. What do you want? What do you need? How much more of me do you want? Big hunger, big filling. He will fill you up. He will fuel you up so that you can go and be a witness with your life. When you're so full of His Word, full of His Spirit, He will just take you where He wants to take you. He will use you in how He wants to use you as you depend on Him. He will fill you up with His Spirit so that you can run. When you run long distances, you can't just go out there and just run 21Ks. You got to put little gels in your pocket that are full of sugar and some other good stuff. But you take that gel every 15 minutes and it fills you up to keep going. You stop for water and you keep going. The longest run I've ever done is 54Ks. I had to take a few gels with me. But you just don't run that long distance in one night, right? In one hit. You have to train. You have to stay dependent on the things that are going to help you to run. And you got to get a good hunger going, a good appetite the night before and fuel up. So who are you depending on? What are you depending on? Are you hungry for more of God? Little hunger, little feeling. Ask yourself every now and again, am I hungry? Or am I just too consumed in life with everything else? So we stay dependent. And what else do? We stay hungry. But as we read the scripture, see what it says. It talks about looking to Jesus. And then in verse 5, it says this. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. When it talks about sons in the Bible, it's talking about sons and daughters. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? The third point today is stay disciplined. So we stay dependent. We stay hungry, but we stay disciplined. And God disciplines his children. He's a God of discipline. On a race, you got to be disciplined. Discipline is training. That's what it is. Training. God actually trains us for the race that is given us. It's so easy when you're in a race or you're running on a journey to just want to stop, to want to go back. But it takes discipline to keep going. And here's talking about how God disciplines his children. Why does God discipline his children? He loves us. He loves us. He disciplines you and I because he loves us. It says it right there, verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So he disciplines you and I because he loves us. There's a race that is set before you and I. And he wants you to stay on course. So to bring us on course, he will discipline us. We heard about it in communion. He will help us to just be realigned. He'll correct us. The word is good for rebuking and correcting, it says in Timothy. You know, discipline can be a word we just like, oh no, God doesn't punish. The focus and the emphasis is not on punishing. It's on love. Love, love, love. 1 John chapter 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If you're seeing things happening in your life, you're like, God is punishing me. You're looking at him from a filter of fear. God just loves you, and he's trying to put you in a place where you can receive that love, in a place where you can hear his voice, in a place where he can show you more of himself, in a place where you can start to walk in what he has in store for you. He's not trying to punish us. He loves us. He loves us. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when trials come your way. James chapter 1, chapter 2. Can't remember what it is. But I love it. It says, consider it pure joy when trials of various kinds come your way. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, God will discipline us. What does discipline look like for you from God? How has God been trying to discipline you? How has God disciplined you? Only you can answer that. But for me, God will discipline me through my marriage. He'll discipline me through my children. Like, marriage is such a big discipleship tool. You know, where I want to be selfish and think of myself, I need to think of the children, I need to think of the kids, and it's like, it's not just about me. But God's making me more like Jesus through marriage, through family, through friends that were speaking to my life. He disciplines us through the Holy Spirit convicting us. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have gone there. You shouldn't have watched that. But I still love you. And I'll feel like maybe God's taking something away from me. Or maybe he has taken something away from me, or I'm not getting what I want or what I need. But it's all part of his training, part of his discipline, part of him chiseling us. But it's all for love. It's actually all to make you and I become more like Jesus. We've said, God, have me, use me for this race. Okay, well, let's get this sorted out. Let's get this sorted out so you can look like my son, so you can look like Jesus. So we got to stay disciplined. Stay disciplined. And I think about my kids. We've got two little boys, 7 and 4. I'm old school. I'll get the hand out a few times. Little smack in a good spot. They know if daddy says bare bottom smack, oh, things are serious. We discipline them in many other ways. But the thing is, they'll cry, they'll yell, they'll walk out, they'll do this, they'll go to their room. But before you know it, they'll come back and they'll just give you a hug. Or they'll just come and just hover around you because they know you love them. They get it. They get it. And that's what it's like with God. You know, for us as God's children, we're like, oh, God's disciplining me. Or God's doing this. Oh, see you later, God. And we want to back away from him. But actually, he's doing it because he loves us. It's an invitation to more of him so we can be realigned and be in a place where we can hear from him. God loves you. God loves us. He loves us. So we stay disciplined. That means he's always going to discipline us. Consider it pure joy when trials come. He's not doing it to punish us. He's training. He's equipping us. So much so that the other side of discipline is the discipline that we walk in, the disciplines that God has given us to equip ourselves. What disciplines are you building in your life? What disciplines are you growing in? We heard this morning in communion about fasting. Fasting is not just something that we do in 10 days of consecration. You can fast weekly. Fast a meal once a week. Fast a whole day once a week. Whatever God is showing you. But something that's going to make you more dependent on him. It's a discipline to fast. We spoke about it the last few weeks. Go back to the podcast and hear about fasting. It will teach you dependence. It will teach you hunger for God. Daily prayer. Praying daily. Having that secret place where you spend time with God. But actually, Ephesians 6:18 says this. Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit. The Spirit is in us, so we pray in the Spirit. Not just with our own minds, but in the Spirit. Yes, we pray in a heavenly language, but praying in the Spirit just means you're praying by the power of the Holy Spirit. You could be praying in English or your native tongue. You could just be praying silently. You could be praying just as you walk. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is a discipline that we love, that as a church we're growing in. It's just part of what we do. Prayer fuels power. What disciplines are you building? What disciplines are you growing in? Meditating on God's word daily, getting into the word. How hungry are you for his word? He has something to show us every day in his word. He has something to show us every time we open the Bible. We need his word. God's word is our foundation. Journaling. If you don't journal, give it a try. Buy a journal. Forget the phone. Get a pen. Get a journal. Get a book. God's giving you hands not just to do this or do this. Not just scrolling and getting your fingers working. But get some grip on a pen and start to write where you're at, what God's saying, what God's leading you into. But as you read the Bible, journal about what you read. If you've never heard about soap journaling, talk to one of our leaders. Talk to me later. Soap journaling, something you can do every day. You just journal on one page what God's showing you in his word. There's power. We need to be planted in the word. This is how we stay disciplined. You get in the word. You pray. You fast. Silence and solitude. It's another discipline. It's silent right now. But just get by yourself and be silent. Someone said, be silent to the point that you can't hear your voice anymore. And ask God to speak and you'll hear his voice. Try be silent for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You start to hear things in the neighborhood that you don't usually hear. I remember hearing when I used to live out in Donfair, I'm like, oh, wow, that's the Eastlink Tunnel. I can hear cars because it was really close to where we lived. But I'd never heard it before. Just be silent and hear from God. It's actually a discipline. God wants us to be still and know that he is God. Worship. Worship him with music, with song. So many disciplines that God has given us. And these things make us stronger. They make us more grounded in him. Sabbath. I'm not swearing. It's a discipline. Sabbath. You don't hear about that anymore. It's resting. It's actually ceasing all work. Just stopping. You make it part of your weekly rhythm. It says on the seventh day, God rested. He didn't make us for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for us. You see the Sabbath talked about throughout the Word. And we'll speak more about Sabbath in weeks to come. But what day in your week do you just stop working? Do you shut down the emails and just rest? Just do what refreshes you. God wants you to do that, to just press reset and just Sabbath. And it's difficult sometimes with families or with certain work commitments. You can have a 3-hour Sabbath. You can have a 2-hour Sabbath. You can have Sabbath each day. You work it out how you want to work it out. But work towards getting to a point where you have a weekly Sabbath, a whole day, where you can just do nothing and just be with God. Go to the woods. Go wherever you need to go and just rest. So what disciplines are you building and are you growing in your lives? You see, when we have those disciplines in our lives, reading the Word, praying, fasting, discipline is actually a reflection of your hunger. Discipline is actually a reflection of your hunger and your dependence on God. It takes discipline to stop. I'm talking about running, right? You think it takes discipline to run? It takes me more discipline to stop because we think it all depends on us. Oh, if I stop, what's going to happen? This won't happen. Well, before you know it, your health will force you to stop. And then you'll be stuck on your back and we'll all be praying for you. But God is a God of restoration. And you'll be back up on your feet in no time and getting disciplined. So stay dependent, stay hungry, stay disciplined. Where are we to look? We're to look forward. We're to look to Jesus. Think of where your feet are going when you're walking, when you're running. If you don't want to go back, you've got to focus also on where you're placing your feet. Proverbs 4:25-27 comes up on the screen. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. We are to set our gaze forward. Look directly forward. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Think about where your feet are going. This is the direction that God wants us to go. He doesn't want us looking back. He doesn't want us going back. Yes, you can reflect on the past and rejoice and learn, but we're to continue to look to who? To Jesus. That's it. But there's things that we're to watch out for. And it talks about things we need to watch out for on this race that we're on, the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, if we go back to Hebrews 12. What I love about this Hebrews 12, when it talks about discipline, especially verse 11, it says, for the moment, in the now when you're being disciplined, when you're going through things, whether it's things that you're trying to build or whether it's things you feel God is bringing in your life as discipline. It says in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, "For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." That's where God's taking us. He's given us righteousness, but we continue to grow in righteousness. But in the process, He's training, He's pruning. Think of pruning. When you prune roses, just cut. That can't be pleasant. Pruning trees, pruning plants. John 15 talks about us being pruned. Being pruned. He's the vine, we're the branches. And He prunes us. But He prunes us so that we can be more fruitful. So it feels tough at the time, but God is actually bringing more fruit through His discipline. And He disciplines us so that we can be a disciplined people. A disciplined people means a discipled person. He's pruning us so that we can be like Jesus. That's what disciples are. We're learning, we're being trained, and the whole thing so that we can walk in righteousness. So the things that we're to watch out for in Hebrews 12, verse 12, it says this: "Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many may become defiled." God wants us to watch out for bitterness in our hearts. We're a broken people in the world, broken people hurting other broken people. But God restores us, God heals us. But even as God's people, we can still hurt each other. We can still be bitter because of something someone's done or said. But we need to get rid of those roots of bitterness, talk to someone about it, pray over it, forgive people, ask for forgiveness, have crucial conversations. We need to watch out for broken relationships in our lives, play our part, do what we need to do. It's part of being disciplined. It's part of being like Jesus, confronting things in love. It talks about sexual immorality. It says that no one is sexually immoral. You and I know that God created sex, and God created sex for marriage, and marriage, from God's word, God's will, is between a man and a woman. And anything that is outside marriage when it comes to sex is sexual immorality. And so God says, live holy lives. He's given us His holiness, but He actually helps us to be holy. So it's so clear in the word. That's why I say stay dependent on Him. If you don't depend on Him, if you're depending on people approving or accepting your lifestyle or how you do things, then you're not looking to God. But if you look to God, "Lord, how have you created me? What do you want? Lord, I'm struggling with this thing. I'm struggling with this desire. I'm struggling with my identity. Show me." You stay dependent on Him, and He will deliver. So we have to watch out for those things: broken relationships, sexual immorality, bitterness. It talks about Esau. It says Esau was unholy. See, Jacob and Esau actually gave up his birthright. He gave up his birthright. If you look in Genesis, he gives up his birthright for what? A bowl of stew, a bowl of lentils. He was a man that God had plans for the nation of Israel. But for temporary fulfillment, he got his brother to cook for him. And his brother tricked him. And then his brother got the birthright. Just for that temporary satisfaction. There's so many things that we struggle with. Desires that we have because of the world we're in, because of sin in our lives, that we can easily give up on what God has for us to go for that temporary fulfillment. But if we stay dependent, if we stay hungry for God, if we stay disciplined, God gives you what you need to overcome. What are you missing out on? What are you missing out on when you choose temporary pleasure? What are you missing out on when you choose temporary pleasure over what God has for you? God has something in store for you every day, every month, every year. But it's so easy to choose the other way. But when you're walking with God, it's not by might, it's not by power. It says it's by His Spirit. So the more we hunger for Him, we don't have to work hard at it. It's just depending on Him, hungering for Him, and He will give you what you need. And as we do this, we won't go back. We'll have that endurance. We will depend on Him. We'll stay disciplined. Is anyone resonating with this today? There's so much in this world, so much around us that none of us are immune. But God calls us to holiness, not so that we can be like, yeah, I'm holy, I'm righteous. But so that people can be drawn to Him. He wants to use you and I to draw people to Him, to point people to Him. But we can't do that or get there without depending on Him, hungering for Him, and being disciplined. So let's not go back. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. As you depend on Him, as you hunger for Him, as you stay disciplined, you actually become more aware of His presence. You become more aware of His presence. You got an invitation every day to walk in His presence, to receive more of God's presence. And as you become more aware of His presence, He just wants you to enjoy. He's created you and I to enjoy Him. But there's so much around us, so much in us, that we don't get to enjoy God. When's the last time you just enjoyed God? Just like, Lord, I just love You. Thank You for loving me. I'm just here not to ask for anything. I'm just here to adore You, Lord. Lord, what are You up to? Lord, what are You doing? He's always doing something. He's convicting. He's healing. He's encouraging. He's counseling. He's always doing something. Lord, what are You doing? Just hang out with Him. So you actually have to depend on Him and hunger for Him and be disciplined to be able to just enjoy it. It's not that you're working to get there, but it actually takes that intentionality to enjoy Him. So the last point is stay delighting. Stay delighting. It's so easy to not take delight in the Lord. To delight is to take pleasure in Him. He takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in me. He loves us and He looks at us and goes, I delight in You. You are the apple of my eye. But He wants us to also enjoy Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says this. Rejoice always. Do you know rejoice actually means delight? It says rejoice always. We have to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we can stay delighting. It's not really English to say stay delighting, but I made it English today. So I could keep going with my stays. Stay dependent. Stay hungry. Stay disciplined. And stay delighting. We are to enjoy God. And we are to enjoy the race that is set before us. You know, training is hard work. But on race day, or as you're stronger, and you go for those runs or those swims, or those rides, whatever, you actually enjoy it. Because you're now disciplined. Because you've been growing. Because you've been depending on what you need to depend on. So we're to stay delighting. Let's all stand as we get close to the end of this. We're not going back. We are not going back. We're not going back. We're not going back. Not going back. I just feel that's a word for someone today. I don't know what it is that you need to declare to yourself that you're not going back to. But you know what it is, and you need today to give it to God, that you're not going back, because Jesus has done everything that we need to live a life of godliness. It says He has given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness, to take part in the divine nature, in His divine nature. We're not going back, but where are we going? Miracles. We're going to see more miracles. That's where we're going. That's where we are. We're going to see more of His power, more of His glory. We're going to see more people get saved, because we're not going back. We're continuing a place where the Spirit is what leads us. The Spirit is who moves us. Holy Spirit, we just thank You for what You're doing in this place. We thank You for what You're doing in each person. And Lord, I thank You for the things that You're showing people that they're not to go back to. Lord, we just declare that we're going to stay dependent on You. We're not going to depend on ourselves, but we're going to depend on You. Oh, man, we're going to multiplication. Multiplication, making disciples. That's what everyone here is called to, making disciples. We heard it last week, making disciples that make disciples. Everyone in this place, you have multiplication in you, because what is in you is not just for you. It is for this world. It is for your mom. It is for your brothers. It is for your neighbors. It is for your friends at uni. It is for the people on the street.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.